This is the news that we've been waiting to hear. Pfizer and BioNTech reporting the first results from their phase 3 vaccine trial.
So BioNTech is a German biotech company, and they were the first ones to get a vaccine across the finish line.
Pharmaceuticals giant Pfizer has announced that its anti-coronavirus vaccine, developed in partnership with German company BioNTech, is 90% effective.
They teamed up with this American company and everything. They are the first ones that get approval.
Britain has approved the coronavirus vaccine by pharmaceutical partners Pfizer and BioNTech, becoming the first country in the world to do so.
But for people in Germany, it was like, what on earth? How is the UK getting a vaccine, getting our vaccine before us?
Germany is under pressure to speed up its vaccination drive.
Why are we not able to use our own vaccine? It's like the EU was holding them back.
Here in the capital, Berlin, just one of six inoculation centers is active, as it doesn't have enough COVID-19 vaccines to open the others.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today...
My name is Jillian Deutsch, and I am a health reporter at Politico Europe here in Brussels. And I am very, very excited and eager to roll up my sleeve, get vaccinated, and return to some semblance of normality.
Jillian Deutsch, with the complicated story of how Europe fell behind on vaccines.
The idea behind the Commission's vaccination strategy was to really bring all 27 EU member countries together and purchase vaccines as a bloc.
First, I have some good news for you on the vaccine front. Today, the European Commission has reached a first agreement to purchase a potential vaccine against coronavirus with the pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca.
They didn't want a situation where EU countries were all fighting over vaccines, partially because they didn't want pharma companies to basically play member states off of each other and get better prices in some and charge others higher prices. But more importantly, they did not want a situation where the bigger and especially the wealthier countries got all the vaccines.
As foreseen in our vaccine strategy in July, the vaccine, once purchased, could also be donated to lower and middle income countries, as well as redirected to countries in the European Economic Area.
I mean, it's quite obvious that Germany, the Netherlands, France, Italy probably could have purchased a decent amount of vaccines on their own, but that would have been an absolutely terrible look for the European Union. So instead, the European Commission created a strategy to start purchasing vaccines all as a bloc.
We have tried to give member states solutions, I would say, that were not possible without a good EU crisis management at the center.
The key players are Sandra Galina, who she basically was poached from the Commission's trade department to come over and start negotiating these deals.
Time is very important to have the vaccines that arrive, I would say, quickly.
And we have the health commissioner, who's really been kind of helping guide the pandemic response from the commission. And then we have the commission president herself, Ursula von der Leyen.
Vaccination means freedom from fear. The coronavirus has reminded us of this old truth.
This has been almost a personal project for her.
In extraordinary times, we need an extraordinary mobilization. It should not matter where you are born and how wealthy your family is. Vaccination is a universal human right.
Because you know, she obviously, as the president of the commission, really wants to see this EU solidarity and purchasing vaccines all together as a bloc is just the perfect way to show what the EU can do when they all work together.
So the EU has this big plan to work together. How is it playing out today?
That is a great question. Before December, I would say it was looking like a pretty clear success story.
We have contracts with three companies. We are about to have contracts with another three companies and are in good talk with a seventh one.
They had amassed a portfolio of 2.3 billion vaccines that really rivaled the portfolio the U.S. had created. They had, you know, six vaccine producers. They were still in talks with some others. So it seemed like things were really going well. Then there were just a series of setbacks.
Now, rollout of the vaccine has been slower than expected across the European Union. And here in Germany, frustration is growing.
I think one of the clearest issues was that the European Union just has a lengthier approval process for vaccines.
Any vaccine that would be allowed for the European market has to go through all the high standards of safety and efficacy which are required for all medicines on the European market.
So compared to the UK, which was the first country to approve the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, they did this by an emergency authorization process. So it was much quicker. And because the companies filed sooner with the US, the US approved vaccine sooner. And so it looked quite quickly like, oh no, okay, the US or the EU, excuse me, is going to start to fall behind. But, you know, they were picking it up. They also will point out that they did approve the Moderna vaccine before the UK, but they also didn't approve the AstraZeneca vaccine until weeks after the UK did. I mean, this already was setting us off on a bad foot coming into the new year, but the issues really just blew up, basically, once we started seeing some major manufacturing delays.
Just when Europe needs it most, Pfizer puts a partial brake on the continent's vaccination rollout.
First, there was Pfizer, which is a little bit behind schedule. But then AstraZeneca dropped this bomb, basically, at the end of January, where they said they'd only supply about 31 million out of at least 100 million doses they had planned and promised for the first quarter of the year.
Just a day after Pfizer slashed the supply of COVID-19 vaccines to Europe, AstraZeneca has also taken a similar step by slashing the supply by 60%.
That was just a massive setback for the EU. They have, you know, ramped up a bit to say, you know, they're going to supply more like 40 million doses. But we're still seeing delays with Moderna. The next vaccines coming are Johnson & Johnson, Novavax most likely. But they won't even be able to supply the European Union until the second quarter. So I guess to say all of that, things are not looking that great right now for the European Union.
How much of this is due to the way that they plan to do all of this? Like, is the root of the problem the fact that they decided to go in on this all together as such a large block?
I definitely think that would slow things down. I mean, the way that the Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has put it, it is obviously harder to move with 27 member states. I think she put it like, you know, you can be a speedboat when you're a single country like the UK, but the EU functions more like a tank. And so I think that it just takes more time to get every single member state on board when you're negotiating with the drug companies, when you're looking at the applications for approval. So the UK has been able to be much, much speedier. I think also one big setback too for the EU is that really during negotiations, they were very clear with drug companies that they would not budge on liability. And that's something that's very near and dear to Europeans' hearts. And this is one of the most vaccine skeptic, this is actually the most vaccine skeptic continent in the world. And so they really wanted to make sure that citizens knew if there's something wrong with these vaccines, you have the right to take this to court. And so there was an effort from pharma companies to change that. The commission didn't budge. That was a red line. But these kinds of things did set the EU back.
What does the vaccination situation look like on the ground in the EU? Because like for me here in America, it's like, you know, I know first responders who have been vaccinated. I know people who are, you know, older who have been vaccinated. But I definitely don't know many sort of just like everyday regular citizens of the U.S. who have gotten any vaccinations yet. What's it like there?
Well, first off, I should say people are quite frustrated right now. I mean, I'm situated here in Brussels and all the bars and cafes are all closed. People are annoyed with these measures. So they obviously, a lot of people want vaccinations. But I think quite telling and is that the only people I know who are vaccinated are my dad, who's a healthcare worker in near Chicago, so in the United States. And some of my British colleagues have, you know, older parents who have been vaccinated or will be vaccinated quite soon. I don't know anyone in the block who has been vaccinated. That's not to say it's not happening, but that is quite telling, I think.
It almost makes me feel like things are good here.
Yeah, but I would say that, you know, on the ground, a lot of the bigger countries definitely are quite critical of this strategy. They know that they probably could have done okay if they had gone off alone. But there are a lot of smaller countries, less wealthy countries, that do point to the strategy and say, look, it's going to take us longer to get vaccinated. But we never would have had a shot really at getting vaccinated if the commission had not jumped in here and started purchasing vaccines together.
Taking a step back here and keeping in mind that every country's vaccination program is a work in progress, are there any lessons to be learned from the EU's program so far that the EU could learn from, or even, you know, like we here in the US could learn from?
The EU really wanted to get everyone together, vaccinate everyone together, buy it together. They even wanted to buy more vaccines than they needed so they could sell or donate the extra doses to low and middle income countries. But the countries that really focused on themselves are clearly in the lead right now. And who knows, maybe in a few years' time, we'll still look back and they will still be the clear winners. And the EU's approach will look naive almost in hindsight. But those countries that are speeding ahead are not in the clear once they've vaccinated everyone. A pandemic is global, right? So unless you vaccinate everyone, you're not just suddenly in the clear and can return completely back to normal. We're still seeing now, you know, new variants racing across the globe. And we're also seeing, you know, the possibility that we might need booster shots or new changes in the vaccines to protect against these variants. So who knows? Maybe we'll still look back and think that the UK, the US, Israel were the clear winners, and the wealthy, these big wealthy countries did it right. But it's also quite possible the EU's approach will pay off as well, and they might secure themselves a better place in the history books.
Jillian Deutsch, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Also today, the Biden administration is withdrawing the federal government's support for a challenge to Obamacare, telling the Supreme Court that the law should remain on the books. The move by the Justice Department follows speculation on whether Biden would try to withdraw from the high-profile red state lawsuit, which was fully supported by the Trump administration, to strike down the entirety of the Affordable Care Act. The move will likely have little impact on the outcome of the case, which justices could decide on soon. But the new filing signals the Biden administration's support for a healthcare law he campaigned on bolstering, and that Congress is now working to expand. And the coronavirus variant first identified in South Africa has now surfaced in at least 5 U.S. states. On Wednesday, California Governor Gavin Newsom announced that the state had identified 2 cases of the variant, both in the greater San Francisco Bay Area. The variant's also been detected in South Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, and Texas. It poses a significant public health threat because it spreads more easily than earlier strains. Researchers are still assessing the efficacy of existing vaccines against the variant. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to check out some of our other shows while you're there, like Politico Energy, The Playbook Audio Briefing, and Nerdcast. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.